Welcome, everyone. It's really a zechus that we have year in, year out to host Rav Simon, and it's really just a sign of his dedication to coming back year after year. That we spoke a few weeks back, a month back, or whatever it was, from somebody said, "Oh, I was speaking to this person. What exactly should speak about it? Einstein won't be an appropriate topic." And really gives thought to it, and it's really just as with everything that he does, it's really just a sign of his commitment not only to coming to our community as he does once a year, but really to students, to Talmidim, to everyone that he interacts with. Is really just that sense of caring and sensitivity and commitment that always comes through. So it's really just a tremendous honor to host Rav Simon once again this year. And without further ado.
I'd like to thank Rabbi Chernensky for inviting me once again to share some Divrei Torah with you on Sukkos. And this is the first time I'm in the new shul, so it's a sense of hischatshus for me. I don't know how many months already.
Since Erev Shavuos.
Erev Shavuos. I knew it came back last Sukkos, but last Sukkos we were still upstairs. But it's a big schus to be here every year. Now, originally when I used to come some many years ago, it was part of a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It was usually earlier in Sukkos. This year, it's already Hoshana Rabbah. So what do you speak about on Hoshana Rabbah? I mean, the Sukkot topics already, it's already almost passed already. So I was sitting next to my friend Rabbi Gedalia Berger, who's the Shoal Meshia for my Shir. So I said, you know, I'm speaking about Hoshana Rabbah. And he said, "Oh, so Hoshana, the minig of Arava." So I'm not going to give the whole shiur on the minig of Arava, but minig in general. And I think that's a very important topic to understand. Minhagim and what make them be binding. Your father's minhag, your spouse's minhag. And, you know, minig is like an essential part of Yadus, changing minhagim and all these different aspects of minhag, and what makes minhag binding. I recall years ago seeing in one of the Tzadok's writings that, you know, now that the Torah Shebal Peh has basically been written down. So the real Torah Shebal Peh that we have left is the Minhag, because that's really still Bal Peh, Minhag, all those Minhag, etc. And it's really a very broad topic, and we'll see whatever we could cover regarding this topic. It's interesting, if you look, we can start with taking a look at the supplement here, because the Maram Shik, just on page 2, Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, and he writes, he just categorizes it in a very succinct way. So before we get to the sources, let's just look at his categorization. He says, "Hinei be'emes yesh gimel gavni minhagim." He says, there are three types of minhagim. What are the three types? Number one, Echad shenogu b'chol makom ke'en yontiv sheni, or amiris halal b'rosh kodesh. There's one minhag that's a universal minhag, that is a minhag that klal Yisrael, no matter what chug you are from, klal Yisrael, from the Sfardim, from the Ashkenazim, from wherever you are, so you keep yontiv sheni. You know, that was a minhag, the Gemara says. And saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is also a minhag. It's a question whether you make a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. That's a machlokas mechaber Ramon, machlokas in Sfardim and the Ashkenazim. But Hallel Rosh Chodesh is, we all say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, Chatzi Hallel. And he says, V'nei b'zenir pligu Rashi v'Rambam d'reish perek lulav arava gabi rabba d'aminu Chavot v'lo birich shem d'vashayach v'minog lo sosor. In other words, that's about the minog of Hoshana Rabbah, of the, you know, taking the aravas and putting them, you know, smacking them, And Rashi says that you don't make a bracha on that, the Gemara says, and Rashi says, because there's no, it's not part of Lo Sosser. Lo Sosser, perhaps is going on a Takonas Chazal, but not necessarily on a Minhag. And the Rambam says, no, Gamba Minhag Shaykh Lo Sosser. And so that's one type of Minhag, what he calls a universal Minhag. And that was stamped with the approval of Chazal, Hizaru b'minag av oseichem, l'inyin yontav sheni, etc. That's one thing. Then he says, he continues on, first word on the line is kechol mokom, omnam yesh gavin minag durak minag ha-mokom. However, there is another type of minag ha-mokom, meaning it's not all of Klal Yisrael when nohag a particular thing. This particular locale has this this minhag. In other words, the Jews in Ashkenaz have the minhag not to eat kidneys on Pesach. It's not a universal minhag. It didn't make it to the Sephardic countries. So that is a minhag ha-mokom. Now, within minhag ha-mokom, he says there are two types of minhag ha-mokoms. One is nogu be'ez ha-mokom ez ha-dover mishum precious usyag. In other words, we know that meikir ha-din, it's permissible, whatever we're being stringent about. But perhaps kidneys would fall under this, that Mikir Din, we know that it's permissible. We wouldn't say that the Sfarim are eating chametz, but we're extra precaution that they might have gotten some pieces of wheat with the rice, etc. So it's an extra zehirus, an extra precious in that location. That's one type of a minag amokom, and the other type, he says, is Oshen Shenogu Dover Zemishum Teikeman De Omer De Dover Ze Oser. In other words, there is a machlokes haposkim about a certain question in halacha, and this community, they decide they're following this particular shita. Whereas by kidneys, it's not necessarily a machlokes haposkim. Kidneys is an added precious, an added siag that we have. But there could be a machlokus on a certain matter. We'll see, he'll give an example in a certain way. And this community opts to follow the stringent opinion of forbidding this particular thing. So those are the three minhagim he has. He has what he calls the universal minhag, like halal yontav sheni, halal on Rosh Chodesh. I guess you can put chibut arava now that we're Lel Hoshana Rabbah, that type of minhag. Then we have a minhag that's only, then the second category is the minhag of location, only in a particular location, and that could be, for example, a kidneyos. And then the other thing is when there's a machlokis haposkim. So he makes a very interesting point here. He says, nearly v'yesh nafkamina v'chiluch b'zeh. So he writes like this, and then after we finish this piece, we'll go back to see the actual Makoros. He says, "Hinei zacharti yomim mikedim shekazachisi lilmal bishivaso shomar and hagon balchasam sofer zatzal." As he writes a personal anecdote that he remembers the good old days in yeshiva. Now you can always speak about the good old days in the yeshiva. So he speaks about the good old days in the yeshiva by the chasam sofer. That was so. He ira beveis hamidrash shel habachurim, ish echad mibedinas Poland. And there was somebody from Poland who came to the base medrash there in Hungary, whatever. Ubikish meiza bachurim lahatilo, and he wanted. The guys were sitting in the base medrash, and some guy walks in the base medrash, and he says, "I need three guys to do hataras nedarim." So what do you need the Hataras Nedarim for? she said, because v'hatilu mashenohog aras shelo lahatir lo ashin tabak biyontif shelatzeres. He says, you know, there's a whole discussion in the poskim about smoking on yontif. I mean, there's a whole discussion of smoking in general, but you know, we know that it's not a good thing. V'chulei, here in a medical school, so certainly, you know, smoking is not something. But it was a special. It was a discussion in the poskim whether there's an added isser if you smoke on yontif, because it's you're doing the malach of havara, so havara is mutter on yontif, but it has to be that something that's shavu l'chol nefesh that most people considered beneficial. So this is an old machlokas. You know, the Pnei Yeshua has a famous comment that it is considered shavu l'chol nefesh because he believed at that point that it was good for digestion and it was something positive, and others disagreed. So it was a machlokas haposkim, whether you're permitted, assuming that you can smoke in general, which is highly questionable, but assuming like that, whether there's an added iser of smoking on yontif. So this person came into the Beis Medrash, and he says he wants to make hataras nedarim, because till now he was stringent not to smoke on yontif, and now he wanted the bachrim to give him a heter to smoke. So he says, and v'gamani ha'isi b'toch enu ha'bachurim. He says, I was one of the guys, you know, I was one of the fellows there in the crowd who was present at that. So I got up and I said, v'amarti de'efshad de'neder kazeh de'esh das osrim ulai kibel atzmo gedat ha'osrim. In other words, maybe if you have something that's just a stringency and you're in a certain situation where maybe you can't fulfill the stringency. So in certain situations, maybe you could have hataras nedarim. I'm not saying necessarily by kidneys, but in certain situations. But when you're saying, I'm a kabel, like the shitas haposkim, that say that it's osir, so maybe, so that's what the Maram Shik got up and said, we're not going to be mater. So then he tells the story. He says, I was called into the Rosh Hashiva. I remember, like in Keren Biavne, Rosh Hashiva had a certain aura of, you know, aim of Yira. So you called into the Rosh Hashiva. It was like a thing. So imagine what it was. He was called in to the Chasam Sofer. The Shabbos V'yantif. He used to eat. So you want to know, no, what are the guys talking about? What's the hak? What's the hak in yeshiva today? He came hayadarko b'kodim lishol al kol dover v'dover. V'siparti lifnei mori hagon zatzal hadvarim kahav yosan. So I told him the story. V'omar shahadini mi? He said, yeah, I think you're right. I like what you had to say. I know with him, yeah, I'm sure he meant it that he, you know, yeah, but it turned out good that he got the guy not to smoke. Etc. Okay, so that's just a little anecdotal to get us into the Inyan, and now we could start learning more methodically this Inyan. So if you go now back to packet number one, we start in Parshas Matos. And in Parshas Matos begins the Parsha of Nedarim. And Nedarim means you take a neder, you say that this particular item is usher on me. The ice cream is like a carbon. I'm not going to eat the ice cream anymore. Or this particular ice cream. So Ishki Yido Neder Lashem, or Hishava Shvua Leso Isar Al Nafsho, Lo Yachel Devaro. You can't defame your word. If you said that this is usati, that you're not gonna, that this particular food is kekorban, so you made an isser on the food, so then you can't eat it. Or you take a shvuah. You know, the Gemara says that neder is an isser cheftza, and a shvuah is an isser gavra. Shavua means I won't eat this apple. And a neder means this apple is also to me. We're not going to get into the whole technicalities of the difference between the Dharma Shuras. But the point being, it's kechol hasher yotze mipiv yaseh. That for an order for a neder or shvua to be binding, you have to articulate a particular thing. You have to say that this particular item is usher to me. So kol hayotze mipiv yaseh, you have to So the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim on page 4 says that even though the Torah speaks about Bal Yachel, Lo Yachel Dvaro, that the Gemara calls that Bal Yachel, Bal is low, like Bal Yeroa. The Torah says Lo Yeroa L'Chametz, Lo Yeroa L'Chametz, or so the Talmudic way of phrasing it is Bal Yeroa, Bal Yimotze. So the same thing, Lo Yachel Dvaro, so Bal Yachel. So the Gemara says that there's a concept of Bal Yachel Midrabonim. In other words, a neder midrabanan. What does that mean? In other words, even though you didn't articulate anything, but you would noheg a certain precious, like you would noheg not to eat first from a certain shchita, or not to do a certain thing that's really perhaps technically mutter, but you would noheg that you're going to be machmer, and you're not going to. So you didn't say, you didn't verbally articulate that this is the way you were practicing. This was your practice. So practice is not verbalizing anything. So really, it's not a neder. It's not a shvua. But the Gemara says, midrabanan, we view it as what? As a neder. Even though you didn't articulate, but since you practiced this way and you didn't say b'li neder and you had in mind to continue, so that has a status of bal yachal midrabon. Mika bal yachal midrabon. Itani dvarim hamutarim, avachem nagu behem iser. Well, there was something that's technically mutter, but you would know an iser. Iyata rasha latir mifneim shenema lo yachal dvar. So you can't tell this person that it's mutter for him to do because he's been practicing that he doesn't eat this particular shchita. Do this particular thing. So therefore, that's called a bal yachal midrabanan. So any time you do that, you decide that you're going to take upon yourself a particular zahiris. So you, like Rav Shechter's mentioned, that Rav Soloveitchik, whenever Rosh Hashanah, whenever it was, didn't necessarily make hataras nedarim. But he would say that, you know, he feels schwach, so he can't stand during this part of davening or that part of davening. So it's something that he, in other words, standing during these parts of davening is usually, whether it was Kriyas HaTorah, whether it was when the Aron was open, these are not things that are obligations. But some people have a minhag to be stringent and to do these things. So perhaps that's considered something that needs hatara, perhaps. So it's a minhag tov. So therefore, it has a din of bal yachal midrabanan. And therefore, if you want to discontinue this minhag, you need this is a hataras nedarim, because this is binding. Because even though you didn't say you're assering it, but you acted that way. You know, sometimes actions are. It can be greater than words. So here, it's not greater in terms of that it's not a nisa deraisa, but a bal yachal midrabon. Bal yachal midrabon. And we'll see, there are some opinions that hold that you can't even matter that, but we'll see momentarily. It's interesting, just parenthetically, the next page I quoted from the Maril, just digress for 1 second. You know, Amar Mari Segel for the Maril, Ein Lashanos on page 5. Ein Lashanos Minak Hamakom B'Shum Inyan Afilu B'Nigudim She'ein Mugolim Shom. Even to, you know, have a different nusach and different nigun, a different that's not part of the. You know, if you're in a shul, you know, a lot of shuls, you know, the chazan's free reign. you want to do, you want to sing this, you want to sing that, you know. But certain, you know, shuls, they have serious minhagim, and you don't tamper with their minhagim. So he gives a story with he was the shliach tzibur and the in Yom Narayim, and he did a different nigan and he and a different piyut, and it was a little bit troubling to the people, and he says the yomim mesa bas harav biyom kippur v'hitzdik harav aniskar alav adin shal laksa bitol shashina minagamachum, that in other words his daughter passed away and he attributed, you know, that thing that because of changing minhag. Rav Shechter has said over that it's brought down that minhag is osios gehenim. So you know, tampering with minhagim is not a, you know, if a person wants to change a minhag, he has to ask a serious. You can't just say, oh, it's a minhag. So you know, there could be more leniencies of minhagim than, you know, a minhag is not in the dindaraisa, but still, you know, a minhag has its chumras. If you take, we would not have time to read everything, but if you take a quick look in the Rashba on page 13 in the Chuvas HaRashba, so he takes a stringent opinion. He says, "Gamamadati, page 13. Gamamadati ala takon shitakamtu shitakamtu alev v'isi shu takonis v'aztikin bali nefesh." They made a, yeah, he says, "Al hayayin shal nochri shatiri suv nosnu beis v'chotze ha'akum darba osot chotze v'insu matar so darshan v'yari Yisrael niska shtei matechos." It's his question about whether, you know, whether the wine was in a certain location where the guy could get to it, and there was a question whether it was concealed sufficiently or not, and he said that if they were machmir in a certain way, osim says, so it's a takonis vasik and bali nefesh vaskamas godri process b'tnei aveira osim siad roi lachem. So he says that this idea of accepting a chumrah upon yourself, that you're not going to eat a particular, there's a shaila in Hilchas Kashrus whether you can eat a particular shchita or you can do, and you accept it upon yourself that you're not going to do it, so it could be that there's no hatara. I mean, that's the Rashba's opinion. The other opinion in Shulchan Aruch is not that way. The other opinion is that you have a harapta and a pesach on that. If you take a quick look in Shulchan Aruch, we just see here in page 22, Dvarim Reshid Dal and Aleph. Dvarim Mutarim Yodim Mehen Shein Mutarim. It's something that's really mutar, and you know it's mutar, but you accept it upon yourself to be stringent. Have a Ki'il Kiblam Lev Ben Neder. Somebody's makabel the fast during the times of Rosh Hashanah, it's before Rosh Hashanah, during Azar's Yimei Tshuva, etc. And he wants to be chozebo because he's not healthy, so he has to make hataras nedarim. In b'shashi hischil linhog hayadaito linhog came la'olam menog kein afil pa'machas. If we, when you started to say, I'm going to fast during the aseres yimei tshuva, I'm going to fast on this particular day, which is not technically an obligation, but you had in mind that you want to do it, on a regular basis and you didn't say Beli Neder, and you did it one time, you have to have Torah. And he tells you how to do it, you have Karata, etc. And then he says, so if you want to do something, you should say you mekabel Beli Neder, that you're not mekabel Beli Neder. In other words, but if you just made a mistake, you were stringent because you were ignorant. Out of ignorance, that's something different. That's because you just were ignorant. Not that you were mekabelet. He says, Misha Omer, in Toa, the Noag Isser, Bedover Hamutar, Nishal Matirm Lobashlosh Gena Tarsadar, Yodeshu Mutar, Venogbok Isser, Ein material fail ke ein hatars nadarim, and that's the Rashba's opinion. That if you know it's mutter, like you know you don't have to fast on these days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur or before Rosh Hashanah, and you still said you want to fast, so then you were mekabel. So then it could be that you don't have a heter unless you're sick or something like that. And others say no, that you could have a heter for that. Aminah kesvar harishonah. The minig is the kesvara rishona that you can have hatara. You can have hatara. You can be matar the matar neneda. Now the shach has an interesting point. He says about a person who accepted certain days to fast, right? So and he's not well, so then he gets hataras nedarim. But he says in Arachayim, in Shulchan Aruch, it says, if somebody fasts, say, every Monday, Thursday, Bahab, right after the holidays, he fasts Bahab, or Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And then, sure enough, he has a bris milah, that he's the father, or the sandik, or something like that, and it falls out on the days that he normally fasts. So the Shulchan Aruch says, mitzvah lechol, vein tzarech hatorah. So there he says you can eat and you don't even have to be matir the neder. So the Shach asks the question, so how come over here when he says he's going to fast on certain days, that's what he's been doing, and then he's sick, so there he does need hatara. So how come when it comes with the bris milah, he doesn't need hatara, and when it comes to the, right, in other words, he's asking a steer in the mechaber. Here when it comes to the person who accepts that he's fasting and he's not well, so he does Hataras Nedarim. But he says he fasts Bahab, right after the Yom Tovim, Thursday, Monday, he fasts those days, and then he's not well, so he makes Hataras Nedarim. So that's what it says over here in Shulchan Aruch. But in Aruch Chaim, it says that when you fast, because you normally fast Monday, Thursday, Monday, and now a bris milah, so then you don't even need Hatar. So what's the difference? So he says, "Lav kushid hasam nogul lasanas kshirah bismila v'nogul lechol." Can call him sana? Adai to hachem sana kshirah bismila yochol. Because we assume that when he originally accepted in his mind that he's going to fast, he had in mind that if there'll be a simcha, he won't have to fast. That's we assume subconsciously. That's Shalia, but getting sick, no. So he wasn't thinking about getting sick. He was thinking about having simchas, Baruch Hashem. It's a good attitude. He was thinking of that there'll be simchas. So, but getting sick, he never thought he's going to get sick. Who thinks he's going to get sick? He never thought he's going to get sick. So Mamela, that's the chiluk. That's how the Shach says. That Adait the Hocha, he's only Makabel because he knows he's going to have simchas. So he wasn't Makabel to fast if there's a simcha. But getting sick, he's an optimist, and so that's how the Shach answers the question. So the Dovel Mervova here in the bottom says he doesn't like the Shach. He doesn't like the Shach's answer. He says Devar of the Chukim. When he has Daiti Nira, the Gabi Bris Mila. So he says a different answer. He says he doesn't think that what the Shach says is the proper answer. He says the thing is like this. The Bris Milah is just one day. Then he's going to go back to fasting Monday, Thursday, Monday. You understand? It's just a temporary thing that he's temporary hefsek from his minag tov. Masha'en kain aval mechabekam ma'isha'enu bori v'rotzeh lachzul gam. But here we're talking about somebody who's become sickly. So he in his mind now is saying that he's not going to be able to fast anymore. So when you want to have a hanhaga tova that's considered like a neder, and you want to just temporarily excuse yourself from this hanhaga tova one time or two times, whatever it is, so then you don't need hataras nedarim. But if you want to say, ad kan, I can't do it anymore, then you could, then you need hataras nedarim. So that comes up a lot. A lot of people, they nohek something, a chumra, and then, you know, a certain standard of kashrus. But they're in a situation where they're in there by a relative, which technically it's kosher, but they themselves had a certain level of whatever, Kol of Yisrael, or whatever that level that they wanted to keep. And now, you know, they're planning to come back, but when they're in there, they're invited to their uncle or their aunt, who are from people, and it's kosher, but it's not, you know, with these chumras, so then he can eat, and he doesn't need hataras nedarim. But if he says that he can't do, he doesn't want to do it anymore. In other words, he had a certain chumra, whatever it might be, and he says, whatever life, the way life is, or the way, can be a different million reasons why he wants to discontinue, but he wants to discontinue, so then he needs hataras nedarim. So that's how the Dogel Mervava answers the steer in the Mechaber. Oh. So now, let us go now to page 2. Back to page 2. And this is a crucial point. There are two packets. Yeah, page 2 of the original packet. A pasuk in Mishlei. Shema bini musar avicha v'al titosh Torah simecha. So this is obviously is talking about something about following your parents. There's the Musar Avicha, Torah Simecha. What specifically is this referring to? So there is a Gemara on page 15. Nunam Beis and Maseches Pesachim. I mean, the fourth parak of Maseches Pesachim, Machem Shenagu, is all about these issues. So this is the case. It's about Bnei Baishan. So Bnei Baishan Nohug to Lohavu Azlin Mitzur Letzidon B'Malei Shabbatam. In other words, the question of traveling a certain distance on Erev Shabbos, when you're supposed to be preparing for Shabbos. So there was a question whether you're allowed to travel from this city to the other city, or is it going to take too long, and you're not going to properly prepare for Shabbos. So the people of Baishan, they were nohug that they wouldn't make this trip, Mitzur Letzidon, on Erev Shabbos, because as Rashi says, it was Yom HaShuk Shal Tzidon, Erev Shabbos. It was a good business opportunity. It was the Yom HaShuk. So if you had different things you could sell, so it was a good opportunity to make some business. So if you would, and Yom HaShuk was on, for them, was on Friday. So the Bnei Baishan said, we know we can make money, but Shabbos, Hachan on the Shabbos is very important. You know, like, they say Rav Soloveitchik would say that in America they know Shabbos, but they don't know about Erev Shabbos. You know, the idea of, you know, not walking in the last minute, but you know, there's an Erev Shabbos, you know, and you know the way the Rambam explains that the person's waiting, you know, it's like you're waiting by the window for your Shabbos guest to come. So the Shabbos guest is Shabbos Hamalka, so you're supposed to be dressed already from before, not 5 minutes and you're puffing into Mincha. But you know, I mean, you know, that's the reality of certain situations. But the B'nai Baishan, they wouldn't go Mitzur Letzidon V'Malei Shabbata. So also B'nayu, now the sons, the second generation, comes in front of Rabbi Yochanan and says, Amr Lo, Avhasen Efshalahu. Our father, they were what? They were rich people. So they could afford to take off from going to the marketplace on Friday, and they didn't have to do business because they were wealthy. Anan, but we're not so wealthy, so we need to go. Anan lo efshalon. So listen to what the response. Listen to what the response was. Amar lahu, kfar kiblu avosechem alehem, that your forefathers already accepted this stringency upon themselves and their families. Shenema shma b'ni busar avichav al titosh Torah simecha. That no, you can't do it. You can't do it. You have to follow the minhag that your father did, even though you're not so wealthy and they were. You say circumstances changed, but that's the din of Shema Midin Bisar Avicha Al Titosh Torah Simecha. Now this is a very complexing Gemara. Because till now, so what I tell you, Chiddush, that if you yourself accepted upon yourself a Chumrah, so it's like a Neder Midrabanim, and then you need Hatara, certain cases, we discussed the Shach, the Dagul Mervava, the Chuvas Harashba, all these different things. But here, you didn't accept anything. You didn't accept anything. In other words, like the poskim say, when can a father make a neder for his kid? You know when? By nazir, right? You know, he can make his son a nazir. You know, for chinuch purposes, Gemara says. Different types of chinuch, but chinuch purposes, you can be madir beno benazir. But why should this be binding? Why should this be binding? So we have a pasuk in Mishlei. So what is the pasuk in Mishlei telling us? Is it telling us that everything that every chumrah that our fathers did, say my father has a chumrah about you know, some people on Pesach, they don't eat out of the house. Even the firmest next door neighbor that they'll eat the rest of the year, they won't eat. Some people I know won't eat any packaged goods on Pesach. I know a friend of mine, Big Tam Chacham from Satmar, he makes his own wine even. No, people chumra de pischa. You know how many chumras there are on Pesach? You could, you know. So does that mean that, you know, every chumra that your father and the mother had in the house that you definitely have to keep or not? So that is the question. How do you understand this Gemara? So there is a fundamental machlokas between the Pri Chadash and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh on this Gemara. Of how do you understand this Gemara? So if you take a look in the Pri Chadash on page 25, we'll see what the Pri Chadash says, and then we'll see what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, and the machlokas comes out to be a tremendous, just understanding this Gemara, what this Gemara says. So if you take a look on page 25 in the Pri Chadash, he says like this: Mishenog Aviv Eza Dover Mishum Shiag Ochasidus. And the Shakiba Lovasanos Say for example, your father fasts on Bahag. You have a father that fasts on Bahag. So that means you have to fast on Bahag. So he says, right, the Gemara says in Chulin that he says, Ana chala bar chamra de gabi abra. I'm vinegar, the son of wine. And my father, when he would eat meat, he wouldn't eat dairy for another 24 hours. And I'm not on that level, the Gemara says. I wait just from one meal to the next. But my father waited from one day to the other day. So the Pri Chodesh says, from that Gemara alone, you see, that he says, Anachala bar chamra, right, the famous Gemara in Chulin, Anachala bar chamra de gabi abba, that my father, I'm vinegar, the son of wine. He said, my father's like wine, he's chashev. I'm like vinegar. I'm just shvach. I only wait 6 hours. My father waited 24 hours. I only wait 6 hours. So you see from that Gemara, says the Pri Chodesh, that just because your father had a stringency about a particular thing, that's not binding on you. It was your father's stringency. It's not your stringency. Oh, but he's still going to have to answer this Gemara that we just learned, the B'nai Baishim. So we'll see in a second. Yeah, so that's what he writes. He says, Kol oshalo lechol boso biyom sha'ochal gvina kayotzi dover boruhu sh'ein ha'ben acharav chayev linhog oso chumra elam kein asop ha'machad. Unless the son himself started doing it. And then it's like he's Makaba. But he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. But if he decided to take it upon himself, so then it's like his own Kabbalah. Yeah, and he quotes the Hashta Harek Kibla al Atzmo Halavachi Pshita to Lo Shayech Bezeh Shma Mini Busar Avicha. Raila Zehivu Sefer Masa Melech Tavrinim Reish Perek Kol Habasar Amar Mar Ukva Ana Loha Milsa Chala Bar Chamra Legabi Abba Yiva Abba Ki Ava Ochil Bisra Ha'idna Loha Avil Vina Ad Lamachar Hashtav ilu ana baha sudasa hu dilo achilna b'achris achilna. Okay. Milsa debrir dekar lanafshe chala barchamra mitzad griusa dilo hava mekayim ahup chasidusa dhava ovid. In other words, is it pashas in the Gemara? He wasn't saying that he's an Avarian. But you could learn the pshat, maybe he was an Avarian. He's saying, in other words, the pshat in the Gemara, he's saying, I violated al titosh toras imecha, no, he wasn't saying that. Pashas the Gemara means, my father had a special chassidus, and I'm not on that level to do his chassidus. He wasn't saying that I'm an Avarian. You could learn the Gemara, if you want, maybe, that he's saying he's an Avarian, that Taki was supposed to do it, and he violated al titosh toras imecha. But he doesn't think that's fine. Mikra din lo mechayim. Vizel im nomar had the ovid avu the maruk for lohava midina al machmas chasidus. Well, you know, Mar the havas feel like hach mikra hadin has to have like kimina betos. We'll have a mechayim benola asos a mina goviv. Al choponim adin poshut she'ena ben chayim unhog siyogim ugdeus oviv. Who the bnei baishon? Oh, what about Agamara? The minute the laws lean and mitzvah the tzidin, the male shabbata, kal kibul avsecha lehem, shanya, the heat baishan ainu shem ish, ala shem mokum, dainu beish sha'on. In other words, baishan wasn't the name of the family, it was the location. In other words, in this location, the minaka mokum, that's basically what he's saying, like Rabbi Gedali Berger always says, it's not a din of minak avos, it's a din of minaka mokum. In other words, if your father does a certain chumrah, so that's your father's personal thing. It has nothing to do with you, even you the son. But if the whole community is knowing this, if the whole community says, because we have a community, that the whole community has a minute to fast on Bahab. So then anyone who's in that community has to do it. Has to do it. If you have a kihila like that. So he says, that's the pshat. The Gemara in Chulin was talking about a minhag of a singular person. The Gemara that we just learned in Pesachim was talking about a minhag hamakom. And that's what he's saying. You people are from B'nai Baishan and you're still living in that community. In other words, we'll see. There's a din if you leave the community and you're not planning to come back, so then you don't have to keep the stringencies of that of the community in most cases. So that's why you had to keep it. So that answers the question from that Gemara in Chulin. Still, one. So that's what the Pri Chodesh says, that this was a minhag hamakom and not a minhag avos. So that's his word. You have to keep minhag hamakom, but you don't have to keep minhag avos. That's the Pri Chodesh. So the Archaim HaKodesh, on page 29. In his parish pre-Toar at the Yoredeya, argues with the Pre-Chodesh on page 29. He says, "Masha Yisri l'Rav Pre-Chodesh Shetiris L'Kush Yizu D'Bnei Baishan Heinu B'Dei B'Ndidas Beis Sha'an." And he says, he quotes that, and he says, skip to the next arrow. He says he thinks it's not true. Ba'olam b'nei ma'ishan heim b'nei mishpachas ba'ishan, kepashta. Ba'liyadana amai dochach atzmo ha'ar p'chodesh b'zeh. Ki muvat shem yashav del darko shal ha'marashdam geish liyasha barbe yafonim tani mil damrino al titosh tafke b'minag t'minkar milsa d'shav yalai ha'ovos b'haskomo linhog minag zeh tomit al dor b'zeh hu sha'omar ha'kosu shema b'nei b'usar v'icha. In other words, it could be it's only if the father wants to be a perpetuated minhag. But if the father wants it to be a perpetuated minhag, so then maybe there is a din. And that's the din. And we'll see the Kli Chemda, you can look, and Kli Chemda explains that's Pshat the Pasuk in Mishlei. It's not automatic, meaning it means that since your father does it, and it's not something, but your father could do something that he only wants to do for himself. And he's not interested in being perpetuated. But if he wants to be perpetuated, and he makes that clear, so then there could be an obligation, midivrei Kabbalah, based on the pasuk of Shema Menim Musar Avicha, to follow and continue your father's minhag. And the way the Kli Chemda explains is, the pasuk in Mishlei would behoove you to mekabel it. In other words, it's not automatic, but you have to be mekabel it by doing it. In other words, and therefore that would be a concept of minhag avos. So it comes out a fundamental machlokis here, as is pointed out in different places, between the Pri Chodesh and the Pri Toar. What's pshat in the story of B'nai Baishan that they didn't go on the business trip on Friday? Was that a question of locale, or was that a question of mishpacha? And as Rav Chaim Kalman Gutman said over to me, he thought the Ikra din is like the Pri Chodesh. Not everyone says that, but many say that that the Pri Chodesh is perhaps the Ikra din, even though there's a new sefer that came out. Different psukim from Rav Yashiv, that just from a cursory reading of that sefer, Yishma Moshe, somebody with the Shamish Rav Yashiv was asking shailas, and from the shailas and the answers were given, was mashma more to me, at least. I never asked Rav Yashiv or never Bavar sufficiently, but that section in the book was mashma that he was being asked questions, do you have to keep this? Al titosh toras, and it wasn't mashma that it was a question of minhag hamakom. It was more mashma as a question of minhag avos. Yeah.
At what point in a person's life does their actions define what their minhag is? Meaning, a 13-year-old who's living in his father's house, does that suddenly make it that he's taking on this minhag?
Right. So it could be like someone said, like Rabbi Gutman said to me, it could be means when you get married and you're ready on, or it could be once you understand things, right? So obviously when you're just parroting and you don't even understand what's what's going on, that shouldn't be the time that. Okay, but that's a very fundamental machlokas here between. So according to the Or Chaim HaKadosh, the pshat is that Shema Minay Musar Avicha, as if we have it in the Kli Femda here, that that's the next page in the Kli Femda, on page 30. The Kli Femda was a classic sefer and Chumash. Pilpul on Chumash, written by Meir Don Plotsky, who says this idea. Omnam kushka milsi yesh la'ayim v'zeh tzarchi en kevin v'zabor d'abon im einu megeda lo yachal kol yotzi mipiv yasa al yesh v'zeh isu medivre kabol shmamini musa arvicha al titosh toras imecha shu azhar kololos l'chol ha minhagim v'amusa shal ha'avos shekibu aleim v'al b'neim. Okay, ain't shayach b'zeh ha'tara kevin v'etzim einu neder shemu kibu aleim klal v'emes v'haytayim v'dasa marashdam. And the Marashdam says an interesting thing, that Bonim Ein Yochem Lahatir, that, you see, if you want to say that it's an automatic thing, in other words, within the Or Chaim HaKadosh, you could say Tup Shatim. Is it an automatic thing, or is it a thing that he has to be Mekabel? So the Marashdam says if it's automatic, so then you could say that there's a bigger Chumrah on the Bonim than the Avos. Because the Avos were Mekabel, so then they could have HaTorah. The Bonim was just born into it. So maybe they can't even have HaTorah. So he quotes the Marashdam, who seems to say that the Bonim cannot have HaTorah, which is mashma that it's automatic. And he argues. And he says that no. That tzarich lomad hechi dekiblu ha'avos al atzman achsoros siyogim kayavah mohabonim gamkein lekabel al atzman mitzad ashorosh al titosh. They made him rotzim lekabel al atzman over mishum al titosh. That was, if they're not mekabel, they didn't violate bal yachel midrabanan, they violated al titosh taras imecha. So within the Or Chaim HaKadosh, you could say these two pshatim. But what's pshat in the pre-Kadosh? In other words, like Rav Goodman said to me, the pre-Kadosh is perhaps more normative, that it's a din minog ha-mokum. And, you know, like Rabbi Gedalia Berger said to me, the whole parak of mokum shenogu is about mokum shenogu. It's a din of mokum shenogu. In other words, we're stuck with this one line of Gemara that seems to imply that it's maybe not mokum, it's a din in avos. And so the Or Chaim HaKadosh, you said, you're right, it's a separate halacha of al titosh. You know, and I don't know, you have to think about it. What do you think the pashtus in the Gemara really is? But the Pre-Chadosh says, no, it's part of the regular din of Minag HaMokom. So how does that work? I mean, so in other words, that means that there's a Minag HaMokom, and then I'm born into that Mokom, I automatically are born into that Minag HaMokom. Why is that binding on me? So there's a line in the Ramban. The Ramban wrote in page 16. In the Mishpat HaChayim LaRamban, on page 16, which the Rivash quotes on page, here on page 16, third column. So he says the Yisod. He says like this: V'nirish afid the dorm came the chol kabbalas harabim. He says whatever the community accepts something, so that's binding, even on the future generations. The kabbalas harabim, that the tzibur, the community, has a din of kabbalas harabim. So if you have a community that accepted upon themselves that we're going to not eat this particular shechita, we're not going to. So that means that even though they accept upon themselves 100, 300 years ago, everyone who's born into that community is bound by the thing. He says, how do you know that works? He says, Kedrashka b'kabbalah satorah, v'chein b'megillah, v'chein b'tzomos. He says, yeah, how did kabbalah satorah work? I wasn't you know, well, we say, well, the neshamas work, but the Kabbalah Satorah or Megillah Kimu V'Kiblu, so it's a Kabbalah Sarabim. And whatever there's a Kabbalah Sarabim works. With this, some, I think Rabbi Berger, maybe also one of my Talmidim as well, we discussed one year and shared the famous Machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban. You know, the Rambam Shita is that all the Rabbanans are from Lo Sosa. And the Ramban says, how could that be? Lo Sosa is not, it can't be the source of all the Rabbanans, because then all the Rabbanans should really be their Isis. And we know that's not the case. I think the Rabbanan Lakula. So the Megillas Esther answers for the Rambam that was part of the built in the clause. But the question is, so according to the Ramban, so what's the source that Dinim Drabbanim are binding? What's the source? So Shav Shechtith said once he thought maybe from the other pasuk in Shabbos Shalavicha V'yagetcha, but I didn't see that beferish in the Ramban. So one of the Talmidim, or Rabbi Berger, one of the Talmidim said, sort of what the Ramban is saying over here, that the Gemara says in Shavuos that in Maimon HaSinai they were mekabel all the dinim the Rabbanim for the future. So that, and I thought when I saw this Ramban in the Mishpat Acherim, it works in very well that Kabbalah Sarabim is binding. That there's a communal Kabbalah, and that's binding, and that's pshat in the Pri Chodesh. That even though you didn't accept upon it, that's why I started the shiur off with things that you accept yourself, and then we went to something that you didn't accept yourself. It was from your father, and then the question is that a din in your father or is it a din in the locale? So if it's a din in the locale, so then it has to be. A communal thing. So that we assume the whole discussion in the fourth parak of Pesachim is that when you leave the locale, Mokom Shenogo, Daito Lachzor, Ein Daito Lachzor, so then you're not bound anymore. So, but as the Pri Chodesh and Rav Gutman said over when the community say the community relocates, like we're not Ashkenazic Jewry is relocated in different parts. We have Ashkenazic kehilas, so then we're still bound by the Ashkenazic practices of like what we wait between milk and meat and all these things. Because even though we're not Daito Lachzor, we're not planning to go back to our roots, but we picked up and we reestablished the community in America and in Israel or whatever that is. So therefore those minhagim are still binding, like not eating kidneys on Pesach, etc. So that's the din in the community. There's another interesting. So that's what the Pri Chodesh. If you look in the supplement, the Pri Chodesh on page 3, it says Mistabra the Kaven de Kol Kol U Kol Yesh Lo Din Ir in the Kol Echad Nagu. In other words, a city doesn't necessarily mean you're going from one city. You could have a kehila, two kehilas in one city, and now you're going to another kehila. So normally you go to a kehila for Shabbos and then you come back to your other kehila. So you can't. Take their coolers. So you go to a German kehila for Shabbos, so that you can't say, well, for the Shabbos, I don't have to wait 6 hours between. It doesn't work that way because you die to lachzor. But if one say wants to switch kehilos, so let me make one point. This I heard from Rav Abadi and Rav Gutman also that. The question is, what does a kehila mean? So this Rav Gutman said to me that Kehillah doesn't mean just a shul. The shul is a nice thing. We have shuls, beautiful shul, other shuls. But like Rav Goodman said, in Halacha, a Kehillah means, and as Rav Goodman said, the Kehillahs that you have today, mainly, a lot of them in Hasidic communities, maybe in German communities, where it's not just a shul, it's a Kehillah. What means a Kehillah, like Rav Goodman said? They have their own cemetery, they have their own mikvah, they have their own shechita. It's not just a mincha maariv place, you know, and a fine rav. It's a Kehillah. So you're part of that Kehillah. So if a person wants to become like, and Rav Abadi pointed out, and usually in America most places are not Kehillahs. There are a lot of shuls, but very few places that you could. My wife said to me, maybe in her mind, perhaps in what we call the more modern Orthodox community, maybe in like I don't know if it still exists, but like in Elizabeth, like the Rabbi Teitz was a hech, a shechita and a mikvah, and he was the rav of all the shuls in Elizabeth, So that's something that of more of a Kehillah type of thing, whereas you have this young Israel and that young Israel and this Torah center and that Torah center. They're all fine places, but and one should respect the minhagim of that, but it wouldn't have the same status of a Kehillah that as these Rabbanim pointed out, like you have in those other places, like Rav Goodman said to me, like Satmar, he says he's a Satmar, but he's they have their own shechita and their own mikvah and their own yeshivas and their own so it's a real Kehillah in every sense of the and their own dayanim and it's a whole, it's not just a shul, it's a part of a larger picture. There's an interesting tshuvas, the Pri Chadosh quotes it, an interesting tshuva from the Ran. Listen to this one. You'll find this quite interesting. Talking about this topic. Listen to this on page 32. Thank you. Listen to the shayla. Reuven nasa isha b'tzarfas. In France, he married a woman. Shumakom shenogel shalolisa shtei nashim. Mechem Rabbeinu Gershon. We follow him, Rabbi Gershon. You can't marry. You can't have two wives. In the Atahu dar be'eretz Castilia, makom shenogel liso shtei nashim. So the question is, now he's moving from Tzarfas to Castilia. So could he take a second wife? So the first wife, she thought she was going to be the only wife because they lived in. But now he moved, and he's in Daito Lachzor. So maybe, so that was the Shaila. That's the Shaila. So on one hand, you could say that etc. Because there was a case in the Gemara in Chulin about, one of the Isurim in Shechita is that you have to shecht in a certain range. If you shecht too high, too low, you're not in a certain range, and then it's, so there's a question, where is the range? So in one community they held, one place was the range, another community held another, what's called hagrama. And so one from one community is considered treif, the other community is considered kosher. So that was the discussion here. So, and he says, and the Gemara seems to say that you follow the makom that you're living in. So, if you name daito lachzor, so he says, "Vazal odem mikam sha'af ruven zeh kevin shadaito lishtakeh b'makom shenogim heter." So, so that was a question raised to the Ram, that maybe now he's living in the new place, he can marry another wife. Was it named daito lachzor? That was the question. So, the Ram says. No. He says that certain times, even though in general we say that it's a din in the makom, and when you leave the makom, it's not necessarily, that's it. But he felt that the Rabbeinu Gershon made it on the people of the makom, and they should be binding on the people that whose makom he had jurisdiction over, that were following his shitas, were bound by this cherim, no matter where they'll end up. In life, and the Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershon is different than other types of Kabbalists, which is an interesting point. Okay, there is a. Interesting point in the Stechemet on page 31. The Stechemet is an encyclopedic work written by one person, and usually encyclopedias today are written by a whole team of 50 people. So he has an interesting nekuda. He wants to know what's the din, and this comes up often. Tefillin and Chol Hamoed. Your father wears, you don't want to wear. You have to follow your father. So some hold that it's Al Titosh Torah, Yoshma Mi Musar Vicha, Al Titosh Torah Simecha. As we said from the Orachai Makodesh. But he says that perhaps not. In other words, the din of Al Titosh Torah Simecha means something that really is mutter midina, but your father is machmir. So then it's a question whether it's a din only in your father, a din in the makom, etc. So then you have to follow. Like the B'nai Baishim. It's an eager din, it's mutter to go on that trip on Friday. But they had a special. Kepeid, not to go. Kein shar minog. There was things that are mutter miikar adin. Aval minog bedover shatolei b'machlokus rishonim. But something that's a machlokus rishonim, and there are makoros lakan ulakan. V'yesh lo mokar ba'alocha midon didon. Hanochas tefillin b'chol hamoed. Avin nog kiminog Ashkenaz. Vaben nog kiminog Sfarad. Ein b'kach klum. Mashavur, in Shulchan Aruch, the Kabbalah Sarab Chalayim Valzaram, who gam came to Chumar, and the Shulchan Aruch of Kabbalah Rabbim, he says, even Kabbalah Rabbim only applies to things that Shekibul Aleim, that the Chumar Shekibul Aleim. But if it's a question of to be Machriya in Halacha, and the son wants to follow another Psach, it's not a question that it's really 100% Mutter, and they just, when Noeg Isser, that, but here it's a question. There are makoros in halacha, makan al makan. It's not like it's one way and you just makabel another way. It's interesting if you look in the Beis Yosef himself, who's the one who holds not to put on tefillin chol hamoed. He himself writes that the minig used to be that everyone put on tefillin chol hamoed, and then they said they found a zohar that says if you put on tefillin chol hamoed, you're a chayiv misa, and then a lot of people stopped putting. On because they felt that was a safer approach, so they stopped. So he says, so same thing here. He doesn't think it's the case. But tefillin mechol hamoed, but in tefillin mechol hamoed, in the fourth column, Reisi Harbe Hibne Aliyah, Shehavosei Manichim, Hei Meinam Mechim, Alkorcha Tzarech Lomach, the Sivna. Yeah. Okay, I mean, again, that's the Stechem's approach. If it's Lamaisi in your particular life, you should ask a Shaila, but this is the approach of the Stechem to say that these things don't apply. Just conclude here, Rav Avadi Yosef has a tshuva about mishpachos, family she'olu michutz la'aretz, or b'ol Eretz Yisrael, and when they were chutz la'aretz, nagu certain chumras on dinei Pesach, not to eat rice, etc. And now they're living in Eretz Yisrael, and they're perhaps in a Sephardi community, so that's a question, what's considered a kehila. He has a whole discussion of that. Another very important point in this whole discussion is the tshuva of the Tashbates. People know it from Moshe Feinstein, but the tshuva was from the, and that's when you get married. A Sephardi, you know, my parents, my father, Baruch Hashem, is an Ashkenazic Jew, and my mother is a Sephardic Jew. So whenever you have people like that marrying, so then they're going to a lot of different menhagim, like Pesach, like Hilchas Nida, waiting 4 days, 5 days, different, you know, a lot of different. So the Tashbates writes that when you marry a man from a different kehila, in our day, again, kehilas, the easiest for us to understand is just Ashkenazic versus Sephardic. That continuation of kehila from Europe. So he says, Nashi ish me'anshe kehila achas, isha me'anshe kehila achera, ain't sofek, she isha hi nechlelos in bayla b'chol chiyuvim. So that's what the ishto kegufo l'chol advarim, and he explains that Rav Moshe writes, that's what marriage is, that is nichnas l'beis habal. Like Rav Shechter always says, nesun is the base of Baal. That's the Shem Shmuel says. That's what Sukkot is about. That we're going into the base of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Havyani HaMelech HaDorav, etc. So the Tashbates here and Rav Moshe both write LaHalacha that you follow the husband's Menhagim, because that's considered Ba'amim. From one year to year, and the Pre-Chodesh writes year to year can mean kehila, the kehila, and hopefully when a person gets married, it's ein dai to lachzor, he's not planning right as Hashem, and therefore it would have that halachic status. Okay, so Moshe, you can look more in the. Please keep the packets. Hopefully a lot of interesting makoros here. You can see more. We didn't cover everything, but these are basic fundamental ideas on the minhag, whether it's first of all your own personal Kabbalah, even though you didn't articulate minhag mitam neder, being matir. The Rashba says you can never be matir. Others who say you can, but the machlok shach in the Dogel Mervava. When do you need to, when do you not to need to, the concept of minhag avos versus minhag Mishpacha, with that Gemara of Bnei Baishan, the way the Arachayim learned, the way the Pre-Chodesh learned, the Tshuva Saran about Pachem the Rabbeinu Gershom could be different than that. The concept of the Stechemed, the Chiluk between Chumras and something that's Nifsak al Pidin, and there could be different Shitas, maybe it's not Nichlal in this whole discussion. And then finally, the idea of marriage following the Minhagim of the Baal. So these are some, at least the beginning of the discussion of what Minhagim are about and where they stem from, and the idea of Al Titosh Toras Imecha, whether it's an automatic thing or it's just a Chiyuv, or the concept of the Ramban based on the Pre-Chodesh and the Rivash based on the Kabbalah Sarabim is binding Ledoros when there's a community. So whatever it be, it gives us that. But it's important. Minhagim are, something that's very important. And even if technically you know, whether things are technically mechuyev or not, you know, it's still, there's a lot to say of following a mesorah, following a minhag avos, even if technically we want to say maybe the Ikar Din is like the pre-chadash and not the, and one has to have a, sometimes hadrachon to know when he could veer and when he shouldn't veer, and because as the Rav Tzadok said, the Ikar Torah Shabal Peh Bizman Hazeh is the minhagim, and that's something that's very integral part of the of Jewish people, is that we have a, you know, sometimes you have young Talmidim and they don't realize that the Torah wasn't given 3 years ago in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, but there was a whole mesorah of how people did things and how people learned and how people performed mitzvahs, and that's why it's very important to have live role models. I'll conclude with one thing that Rabbi Willick said over from Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he once spoke to the American Orthodox scientists in the library in Yeshiva University, and he said, "What's pshat in the pasuk Magid Rav Yaakov Chukav Mishpatov Yisrael Lo'asachem L'chol Goy? Well, we have chukim. They don't have chukim. They have plenty of chukim. There are plenty of law books, etc. So maybe you could say they don't have the holy chukim like we have." Rav Moshe said, "No." He says the pshat is a person in another legal system. You sit in a library 18 hours a day and you read all the law books and you're intelligent, you'll master it. But when it comes to Torah, it's Magid V'Rav Yaakov. You have to have an oral tradition. You could go to the library and read all the Sfarim, and if you don't have a live role model, parents or Rebbeim, you know, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik wrote his famous article about, you know, learning things from what your mother did and, you know, how your parents... and how that in America, you know, we lost that same thing. But if you don't have the Magid V'Rav Yaakov, then you're gonna miss out. You can't. Yiddishkeit is something that needs transmission from live role models. And believe me, I'm a person who loves learning in the library and loves Sfarim and loves this. But without Magid V'Rav Yaakov, without having people, live people, to talk to and to discuss it, and live role models, you're gonna have an askewed type of Yiddishkeit, and that's very important and overpinning to this whole discussion of Shema Bini Musar Avicha Val Titosh Torah Simecha. I want to wish everyone a good Moed, a good Kvittel, a good Yontif, and everyone should have success in what they're doing here in their studies and in all areas of life. Everyone should be Matzliach.
Again, everyone can keep their packets.